So with the grim voyage of the Carnival Cruise Line Triumph, did you see the pictures of that voyage as it limped back to the Gulf? The heavenly dream of taking an ocean cruise collides with the grim reality of what it actually takes to move thousands of people on and off a ship, feed them, clean up after them. That reality is a day-to-day story, though, for the people of Charleston, South Carolina, and other port cities, where millions of dollars worth of tourism is generated by the cruise industry, but the pure industrial noise and impact of moving millions of cruise customers per year on and off ships in port is not pretty for some residents who live nearby and love their views, but not their view of the cruise industry. Joining us is Jay Williams, who owns a home in Charleston's historic district. Jay, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate it.
You know, there's been a lot of reporting about port cities really concerned about the extraordinary growth over the last decade of the cruise industry. When you're sitting out on your porch, what does that look like from your own home?
Well, from my own home, I live on King Street, which is in the center of the peninsula, so I can't see the cruise ships. But when you walk through the historic district and you're looking up, these ships are so tall that we have a colonial city with 2- and 3-story buildings. These ships tower over the skyline, and it sort of just destroys the ambience.
And is the infrastructure sufficient to deal with the numbers of people in terms of roadways, loading on and off, luggage storage, the constant transportation, let alone the fact that these engines are always operating unless they're broken down?
Well, you've brought up many of the problems of cruise ships, the cruise industry. You know, Charleston has always been a port city. That's always the argument. Well, we can handle cruise ships, but cruise ships are relatively new phenomenon. The modern cruise ship industry was not started until 1972, and most people don't realize it. And the largest ships on the sea now are 5 times the size of the Titanic, and they move thousands and thousands of people, and they're really destinations unto themselves. So when they come to port here, they're really taking away from the city as much as they're bringing things to the city. And that's a problem. It's really a transportation kind of a conundrum and nightmare. And we think that these ports should be a little bit farther away from the city center.
You know, when I think about Charleston and cities like Savannah, Georgia, it reminds me of that book, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Right.
In your case, it's a nightmare in the garden of good and evil there in Charleston. What is the city doing to change this? Is there a way to finance an offshore port facility that would actually work?
Well, there are lots of options. In fact, the option that the State Ports Authority and the city have agreed upon is the only one option that they have studied. The requirement of the State Ports Authority by its charter is that they have to study alternate site locations to make sure that it serves their financial needs, but also does not impact environmentally, culturally, or historically on any of the other areas around it. They never did that study. The State Ports Authority never conducted that study of other terminal locations, and there are plenty of them. I mean, we have an old abandoned Navy base that would be perfect. We have Patriots Point across the river from Charleston, which is a seafaring, essentially historic monument, which has the Yorktown in it, which is financially in trouble, which could use some revenue from cruise ships. We have the Columbus Street Terminal just to the north, about a half a mile from where they want to put it at Union Pier. We have lots of options for putting cruise ships where they would have this location, as you said earlier, would be more secure. There'd be more room for provisioning trucks and taxis and pedicabs and all the conundrum that's going to and all the confusion that's going to happen around it. Not to mention, we've also recommended shore power, which would keep the sulfur fuel from belching out over the city.
Plenty of places for big boats in Charleston, South Carolina, according to Jay Williams, who owns a home in the historic district. Thanks, Jay.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.